you can take it from here. Why don't you stay and maybe join in the fun now? The show has begun.
Yes, Dick Bentley and Jimmy Edwards will be on hand for the next 30 minutes. With Wallace Eaton, Alma Cogan, June Whitfield, and the keynotes, all inviting you to
take it from here.
Jimmy, it's out of the question. You can't do it. People don't fight duels anymore. Dueling is illegal.
I can't help that, Bentley. This is an affair of honor. It must be settled by the sword or the pistol. He can have the sword, I'll have the pistol.
Jimmy, you can't do that to David Dunhill.
Bentley, he came between me and June Whitfield. It is common knowledge all over the BBC that she is Jim's bit of crackling.
But Jim, now...
Imagine my feelings when I saw them together in the canteen. Their two heads bent low over the table.
Well, that wasn't their fault. The canteen had run out of knives and forks. Jim, let's be civilized about it. After all, this is the 19th century.
Bentley, this is the 20th century.
Oh, no, that's not what they taught me at school.
We've moved on one since then. Peterson.
Yes?
They were sitting there chatting to each other and laughing. Laughing! What were they laughing about? What were they saying? I couldn't hear a blind word, thanks to you. Thanks to you, I couldn't hear a word. You don't half enjoy your soup, don't you?
I hardly think that's called for.
Called for or not, it was cacophony.
Was it? I asked for mulligatawny. So you'd condemn young David on a half-heard conversation?
I heard enough. During his intimate little talk with June, I distinctly heard the words dreary, old-fashioned, and pathetic.
And for that, you'd shoot the boy down? Jimmy, you've always been such friends, didn't you? Help massage his jaw after he'd read the news in Welsh?
Yes, and look how he's repaid me. To think that all these years I've been nursing a viper in my... up me pullover. But I shall have my revenge.
No, Jimmy, before you shoot, give him one last chance to explain. Let me call him over. David.
Yes, Mr. Bentley?
David, you were talking to June in the canteen. Now, tell me the truth. When you said the words dreary, old-fashioned, and pathetic, were you talking about Jimmy?
Oh, no.
Huh?
There you are, Jimmy. I've saved you from making a terrible mistake.
Oh, thank heavens I listened to you, Bentley. But David, what were you discussing?
Mr. Bentley's singing, sir.
What? Give me that pistol.
No, Bentley.
Give me that sword. I'll murder
him. He's only a boy,
Bentley. I don't care.
It's a great day for the Irish. It's a great day for fair. The sidewalks of New York are thick with blarney. For sure you'd think New York was O'Killarney. It's a great day for the shamrock, for the flags in full array. Been feeling so inspiring, sure, because for all the Irish it's a great, great day.
Me up this morning and I heard a joyful song from the throats of happy Irishmen 100,000 strong.
Sure it was the Hibernian Brigade lining up for to start the big parade.
So I fetched me Sunday bonnet and the flag I love so well, and I bought myself a shamrock just to wear in me lapel.
Don't you know that today's March 17? It's the day for the wearing of the green. It's a great day for the Irish. It's a great day for fair.
Because there's not a cop to stop parading. Begorra, all the cops are out parading.
It's a great day for the shamrock, for the flags in full array. And as we go a-swinging, every Irish heart is singing. It's a great day, great day.
Once again, we meet the Glums, our family of ordinary people grappling with life.
Today their talking point is, when a young man is in disgrace, should he prefer death to dishonor? So over to the grounds.
See the magistrate being so severe. 20 shillings fine and 2 years probation just because you rode your bicycle over a policeman's foot. Oh, Ron, you must be feeling very savage and bitter.
Yes, eh?
You know, it's such a stigma, Ron. Do you realise that very few employers will give you a job now?
It's no use trying to cheer me up, Eth. I'm finished, Eth. I know it. For the rest of my life, I shall be pointed out. There goes Ron Glum, the policeman's foot runner over us.
It's not as bad as that. Oh, you mustn't let this thing warp you, Ron.
It's too late, eh? I've warped. I'd put a bullet through my brain, only I haven't got one.
Oh, Ron, you mustn't talk like that. We've still got each other, haven't we, beloved?
No, eh? You've got each other. But not me.
What do you mean, Ron?
You've got to give me up, Eth. Find somebody worthier to get engaged to.
Oh, another man?
Oh, yes, Eth, it'd have to be a man.
Oh, no, Ron. We're going to see this thing through together. Now, come on, Ron. Buck up. Let's see you behaving more like your usual self.
No, Eth, I don't even feel in the mood for that.
Go on, Ron.
No, Eth.
Just a kiss.
No, Eth, no.
Yes, go on.
You're knocking my cap sideways. No.
Hello, hello, hello. What's this, half-time change ends? Well, I won't interrupt this unusual spectacle. Hey, Ron, quick, I want me spare pair of braces and a walnut. That blooming cat's among the cabbages again.
Mr. Glum, Ron's got back from the court. Aren't you going to ask how he got on?
Aren't I going to ask how he got on? All I've been worrying about all day is how he got on. Ron, boy, how did you get on?
I got all. But I got fined 20 shillings and given 2 years vacation.
Probation, dearest. He thinks his whole future's blasted.
Oh, Ron, lad, lad. You don't want to sit moping about your blasted future. What's the matter with you, lad? You're not a bit like my usual little laughing eyes.
I know, Dad. I've been sitting in front of the fire and I've warped.
Oh, Mr. Glum.
Please, Eth. May I? May I, please, Eth? This is a father's job. Shove over, Ron. Make room for your dad. I'll warp beside you. After all, if I can't bring a little comfort to my son, my boy, as the saying is, then what am I here for?
Your spare pair of braces and a walnut.
Ron.
Yes, Dad?
I hadn't finished, had I?
No, Dad.
Well, belt up while your dad's trying to comfort you.
Yes.
Now, Ron, I know that the first time one appears in court, it's humiliating. But, well, it's not the end of everything. I know. Let me tell you a story, Ron. Mm. I've never told this to no one before. 40 years ago, somebody else appeared in court. A young fella, very like you, Ron, very like. He was charged with stealing a sum of money from the firm's till. He protested his innocence, but... Well, they give him 6 months. A young fella sent to prison for 6 months for a theft committed by somebody else.
Mr. Glum, that was you, wasn't it?
Yes, Eth, that was me. The young fella that went to prison was Charlie Albright. But you do see the moral of the story, Ron. Are you listening?
Yes, I'm listening, Dad.
If you play your cards right, you'll always find a mug.
Dad, you've given me fresh hope.
That's right, lad. You're smiling again now.
Yes.
After all, you did get off very lightly. That reminds me, your mum's been nearly frantic with anxiety in case they sent you to the Nick.
Oh, Mr. Glum, you ought to relieve her mind right away.
I will, Eth. Hey, excuse me, shouting, but she's in the scullery with her bonce over a jug of Friar's balsam. Mama! Ron's been let off, but they give him 2 years on probation. Take that filthy towel off your ears and you'll hear what I'm talking about. They give him 2 years. Oh, lummy, ain't that life for you?
What, Mr. Glum?
Ron's let off and his poor mother's stuck in the jug.
How important can it be that I taste another lips? That was long before you came to me with the wonder of your kiss. So the story got around of an old romance and me, but it happened all so long ago. How important can it be? Mine was a young and a foolish heart, seeking love at every turn. But I have grown so much wiser now, even foolish hearts can learn. Let the past just fade away. Why get lost in yesterday? The important thing is here and now, and our love is here to stay. Mine was a young and a foolish heart, seeking love at every turn. But I've grown so much wiser now, even foolish hearts can learn. Let the past just fade away. Why get lost in yesterday? The important thing is here and now, and our love is here to stay.
Waiter, three more brandies and soda, please. I see the commercial airlines have made a profit this year. You know anything about commercial aviation, Bentley? No?
Yes, Grace, I do. There's a lot of it in Australia. Yes. Small airlines which fly over isolated outposts to supply vital necessities to the men there.
What sort of vital necessities? Huh?
Women.
Extraordinary. They drop them by parachute?
No, they don't have to, you Gracie. By the time they're near the spot, the chaps are flying alongside. Here, I say, by the way, wake up. Yes. If you want to know more about these tough little air charter services, we'll tell you about another one.
No,
this one's in South America. Fasten your seatbelt.
Here on this sun-baked stretch of desert in Mexico, they have fashioned an airfield. Just a runway, a collection of huts, and a sign reading BOA Jim, Air Charter Service. Proprietor, Big Jim Edwards, 3 pilots, no waiting. In the sweltering control hut, Big Jim is anxiously calling up one of his aircraft.
Hello, J for Ginger. This is G for Jim. Why don't you answer me, Pete? Are you in trouble? Over.
Hello, G for Jim. Listen carefully, Jim. My altitude is zero, the petrol tank is empty, and me wing is off.
For Pete's sake, Pete, where are you?
Oh, I'm in the hangar.
You're in... Get that wing back on. I told you before about leaning on it. Now get busy there. Over.
Buenos dias, Big Jim. I have bring this box. It is for the baby goat you have to fly to the city.
Show me. No, Lolita, no. I can't send a kid up in a crate like that. Put it down and get out. Right now, I got enough trouble on my hands. I'm worried about my airline.
I give you good scalp tonic.
I give you a good clip round here in a minute. It's these old planes I got to work with. They just won't fly high enough. If the pilot comes to a mountain higher than 1,000 feet, he has to get out and knock the top off. Oh, if only... Hey, what's that noise?
It is an aeroplane up in the sky.
Give me my binoculars.
Jim, what is it doing over here?
Hello, control tower.
He's coming through. Listen.
Yes.
Hello, control tower. This is Captain Floyd Delaware, United States Army Air Force. I am ferrying a plane from Heathrow Aerodrome. Can you inform, please? Am I getting near Northolt Aerodrome? Over.
Hello, Captain. Hello, Captain. You're over Mexico.
Uh-huh.
What are you doing, Captain?
Just checking on my navigation. Will you inform me, please, what does it mean when your compass shows the letter M?
It means you got it upside down. It should be W.
Uh-huh. That could be where my error lies. Hello, control tower. Am coming in to land. Please switch on all runway lights and night landing flare path.
But it's 2 o'clock in the afternoon.
It is? One moment, please. Hello, control tower. Do not light your lights. I had my flying helmet on back to front. Please talk me down.
Okay, Fluff for Floyd. Use number 2 runway. Repeat, number 2 runway. Do not use number 1 runway. It has been rolled up and sent to the cleaners.
Wilco and Roger.
No, Snow White Laundry. Lose altitude now, Fluff for Floyd. Flaps down. Now lower your undercarriage. Lower your undercarriage.
Uh-huh. Now, which button is that? Let's see now. Cigar lighter. Radio air hostess. Ah, I think this is the one. I'll just press it.
No, no! That's a machine gun! Take it gently now. Keep going. As you are. Come in. Come in. Come in now. Not through the door!
I feel I owe you an apology, sir. Guess I should have knocked.
The plane was completely ruined. Captain Floyd walked around it silently, then took off his tunic and started sewing on corporal stripes. I left him with Lolita.
Senor Captain Floyd, what will you do now?
56 days, I reckon, ma'am.
Why you not stay here in Mexico and fly for Big Jim? He needs someone to fly his planes badly, and you are just the man. Oh, please stay, Capitan.
Lolita, you're pretty fond of that Jim guy, aren't you?
Ah, senor. But he does not notice me. All he thinks is his planes and his charters. Oh, that Jim, he has a carburetor where his heart was.
Yeah, yeah. And a propeller where his upper lip was. Sorry, kid. Sorry, Lolita, but I just can't stay here in Mexico.
Lolita! Hey, Lolita, it's happened at last. A chance for BOA Jim to earn 25,000 bucks.
Jim, what has happened?
You'll find out. Give me that radio. Attention all BOA Jim pilots. Fly back to the airfield immediately. P.S., and this is important, bring your planes with you.
Hello?
right, man. All right. This is the setup. Now, look at this bottle that I'm holding. Now, watch carefully. I pour one drop, one tiny drop, onto the floor, and...
Oh, they don't make beer like that these days.
This ain't beer, Captain. The stuff in this bottle is nitroglycerine.
Nitroglycerine.
There's 10 grand for whichever pilot flies his bottle over the mountain to the oil wells. How about you, Pete?
I'm sorry, Jim. I've got a young and beautiful wife to think about.
Young and beautiful? Why, you're a bachelor.
Well, I can think about it, can't I?
What's the matter with you guys? You want to spend the rest of your lives working for peanuts? Just picking up a little bit here and a little bit there. Here's your chance to earn 10 grand.
But suppose the stuff goes off in midair?
Then we're back to picking up a little bit here and a little bit there. So you're all yellow, huh?
Yeah.
Okay, I'll fly it myself.
Oh, look, you'll never do it, Big Jim. That nitroglycerine is tricky stuff. It's highly volatile.
Well, so am I. Jekyll and Hyde 1 week, Red Indian another. Let's see, what are we this week? Oh, American.
Give me that flying jacket, Lolita.
Oh, no, Jim, no. You will be killed, perhaps fatally. Oh, no, 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 don't do it.
Don't cry, little Mexicali Rose. Cry a little further away if you're gonna. This is my big break. If I get back, maybe you and me can talk about Hitchin.
Hitchin?
Yeah, it's a little place just north of Potter's Bar. You see, little leader, a man's got to do what he's got to do. And if a thing's got to be done, then a man's got to get done the thing that he's got to do, even if it means he's got to do it.
You mean...
I don't know what I mean. I just read the stuff.
Oh, no, Jim, don't go. Stop him, Floyd, stop him.
Big Jim, I hate doing this, but I got to... Ah!
Did you kill him?
No, didn't touch the keel. Hit him on the jaw. Give me that jacket, Lolita.
You?
Yeah, and fill up the oil tank. There's flying tonight.
G for Jim. Calling J for Ginger. Answer me, Floyd. Why did you do it, you crazy, wonderful fool? Over.
Because this was my job, Jim. Flying's all I know. You, Jim, you've got Lolita. She's in love with you, Jim. And you've done nothing about it.
Flying is all you know, isn't it?
Fly careful, Senor Floyd. That nitroglycerine, it's dynamite.
Relax, Lolita. She's handling beautifully. Just approaching oil field. I am going into a bank.
Are you out of the bank yet?
Yep. Now going into a chemist's.
Floyd! 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 You're flying too low! Take her up, Floyd. Let me help you all I can. What is your exact height?
I am 5'8" in my flying socks.
Are you descending yet?
Just over the runway now.
This is the trickiest part, Floyd. The slightest bump on landing and you'll blow up. Don't rely on your undercarriage, Floyd. Shove your feet through the floor and tiptoe in.
Wilco. Coming down now. Coming down 40 feet. 25 feet, 8 feet, 2 feet, minus 4 feet.
Minus 4 feet?
All in the runway. I'm down.
Oh, you've done it. Jimmy has landed safely. Oh, Floyd, be careful with the bottle of nitroglycerine.
A bottle of nitroglycerine? Yeah. No, there's a silly thing to have forgotten.
You forgot it? After all that, he's left the nitroglycerine behind.
Be calm, Jim. Try not to pound your desk.
Don't you tell me what to do. Where did you leave that bottle?
Please do not pound your desk, Jim.
Where did you leave that bottle?
bottle!
It's on your desk.
It's on the... Ah!
Jim. Jim. Well, wherever you are, I feel I owe you another apology.
Harry and a bit of Ritz and the Augmented BBC Review Orchestra bring our recorded show to a close. Those involved were Dick Bentley and Professor Jimmy Edwards. Encouraged by Wallace Eaton, Al McCogan, June Whitfield and the keynotes. The announcer was David Dunhill. Frank Muir and Dennis Norden wrote the script, and the program was produced by Charles Maxwell. We all invite you to tune in next week and...
David Crosby.